This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarn doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Con. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Now, there's a lot to unpack this week. There's a lot going on in the news cycle, so let's dive deep. Rebel Wilson. Now, there's a lot going on at the moment because fans are devastated as she's pulled her release of her book. What's going on there?
Yeah, I dare say she's not.
She's not. I know. I'm being polite here because I know we're going to get the lowdown. So what happened?
Yeah, so it's seemingly it's the Sacha Baron Cohen allegations that is causing this pulling of this book. So lots and lots and lots of revelations have been coming out over the past few days as to what's in this book. I think a lot of them are rather innocuous, you know, Rebel losing her virginity at 35, yada, yada. Things that, you know, might be titillating for her fans in terms of intriguing, but nothing in terms of you're going to face a courtroom kind of thing. But she has been making allegations about Sacha Baron Cohen, particularly when they were on a film set in, I think it's 2014, where she felt that there was a level of pressure put upon her to perform in certain kinds of ways, sexual innuendo, etc. And she's been talking about this online since 2017, but hasn't named him before. He was named in the memoir. His team have basically put an injunction on the publication, meaning that it can't be sold at the moment in the markets where the injunction is in place. And obviously the publishers go along with that because they don't want to be sued. Now the question is going to be, will it see a courtroom? Will an edit be made to the book, etc.? It seems kind of arbitrary in an online world where the revelations have already been aired that you have to somehow edit the book and then it can go for sale. But nonetheless, something along those lines will end up having to happen because the publishers don't want to be sued.
Gosh, okay. I mean, it's a huge... I mean, I know there's always this kind of titillation that you need to sort of send out a few things to tease people to sort of pull in their resources to order the book or to sort of hopefully...
You want a hook.
Yeah, you want a hook and create that chatter that happens with these kind of things. And obviously, realising, well, it's Sacha Cohen Baron you're dealing with here, have the resources, we'll sort of push for something to be said about it, and that is an injunction, and let's revisit it. So
the weird thing about it, though, is his brand is actually this.
Yes, right? I know.
His brand is constantly about pushing things to going further than he should, and not just with Rebel Wilson, with every single performance he's ever given.
Yes.
It's always about... So I actually find it intriguing. I think people get to own their own stories, and of course, if you feel that you're being misrepresented, absolutely take it legally if you need to. But I can't imagine this does him any service. Not only is it going to be expensive for him, but again, she's not making allegations in terms of, you know, making a criminal report about him. She's saying what I think audiences have seen him do for over a decade. I find his response, or at least the response of his team, to be quite strange for a comedian.
Because it is a brand that he has, and he sort of portrays it quite well when he's on film or on stage or wherever else he is, but obviously it's now going counter that, so say no. So, yeah, it is kind of a strange thing to be.
And I guess he could potentially draw the distinction, whereas when he's in character, that's a character pushing things too far, as opposed to naming him with his name. I don't know if that distinction's drawn by audiences, but certainly perhaps by him as a person, I can imagine that that's considered a more serious offence.
So watch this space. We're going to sort of see whether the books need to be pulped or redacted.
Yeah, this has happened in the past. Yeah. So I think we saw it recently with the Prince Harry bio in certain markets where different details were included that weren't in the English language version, and that resulted in a similar outcome in terms of withdrawing the book as well.
Well, I don't get it. I mean, I know that Prince Harry book is a great example because people sort of go, okay, what has been released in the market in a particular country? We can just get access to that and sort of share it with the rest of the world. So
we saw it recently, didn't we, with a case in Victoria where a name of a person who'd been arrested was redacted for a period of an afternoon in Victoria, but every other state was naming the person. And online, what does it matter if I can Google it? It seems very strange that old school pre-internet rules still govern this space, as though, you know, I'll use the pee in the pool analogy. You can't really get the pee out of the pool, and you certainly cannot get the allegation out of the book, even though the book's been withdrawn, because it's out there.
Yes, I know. It's a weird one. Anyway, we're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosemont from the University of Melbourne about what's been in the news this week for both Lizzo, Rebel Wilson. We'll get to Lizzo in a moment. And also what let's talk about now, which is Queer Eye's Jonathan Van Ness. There's a story going on there, so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, there's actually some strong parallels between the Jonathan Van Ness case and the Lizzo case, in the sense that people who have worked with both of these celebrities are claiming these are celebrities who are not nice in person, or at least who treat their staff badly. And the bad is a little different in both cases, but the gist being Jonathan Van Ness, not the nice guy that he pretends to be, and Lizzo, it's some sort of sexual harassment stuff as well as different kinds of mistreatment. But the gist is, here are two people who have made their brands as being nice people who are, I don't want to say defending the underdog, that's a little bit of an extreme, but the idea of nonetheless being supportive. I think they both say that they sell a brand that is inclusive, that's about, you know, including people who have been historically marginalized, both of them doing that, and that here you are throwing other people under the bus is a conflict. And this question is being raised about whether something like this, does it destroy a brand, and how much cachet or how much value do audiences put in into the perception of a person being nice? And I think you can kind of stretch that to, let's say, what happens when we find out, you know, hosts of a radio show or a morning show don't like each other in real life. Does it change our perception of consuming that product?
Well, a classic story to be shared about that, it was what happened to Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
She had this very successful show going on daytimes, if I recall, in the US for, well, almost 20 seasons or something. So, again, something happened. It came out to the fore that not as nice as a person. So sort of the other side of the celebrity that we don't know. And what happened was, soon after, she sort of announced her final season. And, I mean, we don't know much about what she's up to at the moment. I mean, she's having a well-deserved retirement. I don't know. So,
and even if she wanted to leave because maybe you've had a gutful of doing a show for that long, it's now always going to look like she was pushed out. Even if that's not the truth,
totally.
I don't know the truth, that still those events get coupled. And I think there's a different side to this as well. Think about people you've ever either worked with, gone to school with, etc., who you had a, you just didn't gel as personalities. You didn't do anything to them, but you just didn't click as people. I can imagine that their framing of you in a villain in their story doesn't necessarily do you justice as a person, but if they had a platform to reveal that, and obviously the temptation is there if that person is a celebrity to tell these stories, suddenly someone's perception of you as being the villain in their story frames you as a person, and it becomes your defining attribute, even if it doesn't do you justice. And I think this is one of those concerns perhaps that Sacha Baron Cohen has, certainly other people who get named and shamed, is does your one person's perception of me, or even a group of people's perception of me, really do justice to my entire career? And what happens if you got me on a bad day?
Okay, so there's a lot to sort of see, sort of watch this space, what's going to be happening up with Lizzo. I know she quite well publicised, came out and sort of said, I quit, and sort of like, look at this, I'm going to make a statement. Of course, that statement's going to attract even more attention. And
which is hard not to be cynical about it, isn't it? In the sense of, when I read the statement of I quit, I thought, how long is it going to be before you backtrack?
Yes.
And what I meant was, I'm quitting either social media or I'm quitting. Because we feel that we've kind of, this seems like a playbook of a lot of celebrities when they're almost, I don't want to use the word cancelled, it feels like it's overused, but when there's kind of a turn against them, there'll be a kind of statement, I need to pull back for my own mental health, as though now I'm the victim.
Yeah.
And that is, from a PR perspective, really dangerous card to play, because audiences aren't sympathetic. If you're being accused of treating people poorly and now you're making yourself into the victim, as opposed to just apologizing, things get messy and your fan base can fracture. And I think we have seen that certainly with Lizzo.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack, and I really appreciate that we sort of had to throw in that extra sort of conversation, not only about Rebel Wilson, but Lizzo and Jonathan Van Ness. Lauren Rosenwald, thanks for joining me on Joy Drive this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Con.
That's Lauren Rosewell, Associate Professor from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.